And we're going to carry on tonight looking at a series of teaching that I've been doing on the subject of prayer. Actually looking at Jesus' teaching on prayer.
Okay. God bless you. You want some real water?
And we've been looking at Matthew's Gospel chapter 6.
You want some water? I this here. I bring you something else.
So if you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, we will, I'll just very, very briefly recap on what we have been looking at. We've been going through this passage of scripture beginning in verse 5, where it says, where Jesus begins to teach about prayer, and he tells us when we pray, we mustn't be like the hypocrites. You know, their motive for prayer was completely wrong. You know, they wanted to be seen by men, to receive the accolade of men, and, you know, to they wanted their prayers to be noticed. You know, and they prayed loud prayers, they prayed public prayers. And Jesus says, don't be like those who love to stand in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. He says they've already had their reward. They've got what they were looking for. You know, they've already received the honor and praise of men. And then he goes on to say, he says, and neither, he says, don't be like the heathen who pray repetitious prayers because they think by their many words that God will hear them. And we just looked at those two thoughts in the previous week, and you know, Jesus said that, you know, it's not about the many words that people pray. You know, it's not about just going over and saying the same thing over and over and over again. Because then Jesus went on to teach, which I believe, and I've said this every week and I'm going to say it again. He gave, in verses 9 to 13, what has been commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Which I think is a bad translation or a bad title for this prayer. You know, this, in my opinion, should be called the model prayer.
Amen.
The Lord's Prayer we find in John 17, where Jesus prays to his Father.
Amen.
And here, Jesus, he gives a pattern. He starts off in verse 9, he says, in this manner, therefore pray. In this manner, in this likeness. He doesn't say pray word for word. He doesn't say repeat it parrot fashion. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong, and some people, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, some people have found great comfort in praying this prayer, particularly those perhaps that don't really have a church upbringing or a Christian influence in their life. And, you know, their first encounter with God may be this prayer. And I'm not taking anything away from it. But here I believe Jesus has given us a pattern, a model for us to base our prayers on. Now, not every one of our prayers will contain everything that's in this pattern here. But I did say a couple of weeks ago that I believe this pattern prayer is broken down into three segments. The first one is that of worship. And our prayer must contain worship. Then there's petition. And our prayer must contain petition. Well, we don't have to ask God for anything. You know, we can just pray and worship him. But we must have worship. Then there's petition. And then there's praise. A time of thanksgiving and praise. And we've been going through, and we looked at the first part, and we're just going to finish that off tonight. Looking at the first part, which is worship. And we've looked at these stanzas in this prayer. Our Father in heaven. You know, we're praying to our Father. We have a relationship with God. You know, God isn't just somewhere off in the nether regions of what we call heaven. He is our Father. We have an intimate relationship with him. You know, Paul writes in his letters, he says, you know, we can approach God. We can call him Abba. You know, we have that relationship. He's a Father. He shows love to us. He shows care. You know, today is Mother's Day. And, you know, we celebrate our mothers. In a few weeks' time, we will honor and celebrate our fathers on Father's Day. You know, but there's been no father. It's like God. You know, maybe our fathers let us down when we were younger. Maybe they weren't there. You know, maybe they abused us or hurt us. But God is a loving Father. You know, and we can have confidence in Him when we approach Him. He's not going to let us down. He's not going to break His promise like many earthly fathers do. You know, if God has promised us something, we can take it to the bank that God is going to bring that to pass in our lives. You know, our Father in heaven. And then it goes on, hallowed be your name. You know, we looked at a few of the names that God has revealed Himself by. You know, and His name is holy. He is a holy God. You know, when we holy and we honor and we magnify His name, you know, God is pleased. And then we began to look and at this statement here, which says, your kingdom come. And then under the way we pray in all, this part of the prayer here, or this model prayer, your kingdom come. It's talking about submitting ourselves to the lordship and the rule and reign of Jesus. You know, unless we acknowledge Jesus as Lord, you know, we will have difficulties, I believe, in receiving some things from Him. Because Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of all. If we're Lord, then we can do it ourselves. Do you understand? But if He is Lord, then we submit to Him and say, Lord, not my will, like Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, but yours be done. And actually, we're going to come on to that in just a few minutes. You know, God must have the preeminence in our lives. You know, the kingdom of God must take priority over everything else. Jesus said this, just in a later verse in this chapter, in verse 33. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And what He was talking about there were the things that we need, the things that we petition God for. You know, the things we need to live every day. Our food, our drink, our clothing, our homes. You know, it's today. If the gospel writers were writing today, you know, maybe they would add a few extra things in it. Like it would be like a, you know, we've got to have money to live. We've got to be able to pay the bills. We've got to be able to, you know, buy the electric. You know, these are all things that we need and we can be concerned about and we pray about. But Jesus gives us strict instructions here. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first God's way of doing what He does. You know, seek first the lordship of Jesus. And everything else will fall into line. It will come. Everything will be added to us. You know, when we submit ourselves to the lordship of Christ, everything falls into its rightful place. That includes our families. The things we need, our work, our jobs, the church, it all comes in its rightful order and in its rightful place. Why? Because Jesus is first. And now we're going to look at, and I've given you a little summary of what we've already covered. This, there's a line here, a couple of stanzas here in verse 10, which says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My next statement is, you might say, well, that's obvious. But how many times do we actually stop and ask ourselves the question? God expects us to find out what His will is. God expects us to find out what His will is. And for those of you that aren't just visiting us tonight, and will know that over the last couple of weeks, we've started saying 1, 2, 3.
What would Jesus do?
WWJD. Yeah, what would Jesus... What is the will of God? What would God do? What does God want me to do? Or as we heard this morning from Brother Anthony, what is God saying to us about this situation? How can we find out what God's will is? Well, the best way is reading the Word of God.
Amen.
We don't have to spend hours and hours in prayer. Lord, show us your will. God's already given us his will, his revealed will here in this. I nearly made a slip then. I was going to say this book. I never like to refer to the Bible as this book. You know, this is the Word of God, the living Word of God. You know, it's alive. Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, this is God's living Word transmitted to us from heaven. Recorded on, yes, it's recorded on a page, and we have it written down in black and white. And as we get into this book, this book, as we dig into it, and we dig out the Word of God, you know, we find out the will of God for our lives. As we study the Scriptures, as we meditate upon the Word of God, we find that this is His will. God's will is revealed through His Word. Come with me to the book of Ephesians. There's just a few scriptures we're going to turn up tonight. Ephesians chapter 5.
Chapter 5 comes after chapter 4, does it?
In my Bible, it comes before chapter 6. Ephesians 5, look at what it says here. Let's go from verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. This is finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. We have to find out what is acceptable to God. It goes on in verse 17. He says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, find out what is acceptable to God. You know, understand the will of the Lord. You know, I know it says this in the Scriptures, and you often hear people say this, that His ways are beyond man. Now, who can know the mind of the Lord? But we're told to understand what God's will is. So if we're told that, then we must have the ability to find it out from the Scriptures. We must have that ability. God must have given us that ability to do that. You know, understand the will of the Lord. How do we do it? I said, well, it's by studying the Scriptures. You know, and there's a great scripture here. In 2 Timothy. And I love this one. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's go to verse 14. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. He says, but you, now Paul's writing to Timothy here, but it's equally applied to us. He says, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, makes us wise for salvation. And it's received through faith in Him. How do we receive anything from God? How did we receive our salvation? By faith. We put our faith in Him. And we received our salvation. We don't argue with it. You know, we heard the gospel message. We responded in faith. We put our faith in Jesus. You know, Jesus cleansed us from our sin. We don't argue with that. We don't say, well, maybe He did, maybe He didn't. You know, we just take it by faith that God has cleansed us of all our sin. We receive it by faith. It's the same way we receive healing when we pray. We receive it by faith. How we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we do it by faith. If we want to receive anything from God, we do it by faith. Why? Because it's faith that pleases Him. Amen. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that. You know, it's not going to church. Well, I've gone to church all my life. That must have pleased God. No. I've prayed every day. Surely I'm pleasing God. No. It's got nothing to do with what we do. God is pleased with faith. Anything we try and put in the place to... it's like erecting an idol. Faith pleases God. And it goes on. He says here, in verse 16, this is the scripture. I really love this scripture. Now, you can't argue with this. Because here, the scripture clearly says, all scripture. All scripture. Well, it doesn't include the Old Testament, you know, and we could forget Revelation. No. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is inspired of God. It's God breathed. It's God transmitted to us. Transmitted by Him, by the Spirit of God, to you and me. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, or the sister, brother, you know, I said this, I think it was last week, you know, the scripture tends to use the male gender, but it encompasses us all. The man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you want to be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work? Do you want to understand what God's will is? We come to the scripture. Come to the Word of God. You know, I like, I'm just going to deviate from my notes slightly, but come with me to 2 Peter. Bam. 2 Peter chapter 1. Here, Peter. You know who Peter is? Not me. This is the man. And I'm not just saying this because I share the name with him, but this was the man on whom Jesus says, you're dependable. You're the rock. We know from Peter's life that on some occasions he was far from dependable. You know, he let Jesus down on several occasions. But here Peter's writing to the church. And he's recounting an occasion that took place in one of the early parts of Jesus' ministry. And he says here in verse 16, he says, "We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "But were eyewitnesses of his majesty." You know, this isn't a story that we're perpetrating. This isn't a devised fable. For those of you that may have picked it up, you know, and it caught my eye the other week, that the headlines in the is it the Malta Now or the Malta Today, whatever it is, saying that Israel was, the nation of Israel, forged on a lie, founded on a lie. You know, it's not a fable, what we are following here. It's not a fairy tale. And he says, we didn't come with a story, we didn't come with a tale, we didn't come with a made-up fable trying to convince you about the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, we were eyewitnesses. You know that the word of an eyewitness is powerful. You know, did you see it? Well, no, I didn't see it. Well, how do you know? It's just theory. Peter says, he said, look, this isn't a theory that we've come up with. He said, we actually saw Jesus. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw him after he rose from the dead. And there's power in the word of an eyewitness. And he goes on to say, he says, Jesus himself received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter, James, and John were with Jesus on the mountain when the glory of God came down, and Jesus was transfigured before them. And the scriptures tell us that Moses and Elijah appeared talking with Jesus, and you know, Peter said something stupid. You know, he said, "Lord, shall we make you some tents that you can dwell in?" And but he says, we were actually there. We heard the voice. We saw the glory of God come down. And then he goes on and says something else, which is so important. He says, we heard the voice of God speaking audibly. He says, but we've got something more sure, more certain. The prophetic word confirmed, he says here in the next verse, verse 19. Which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. And he's talking about the word of God, the scriptures. You know, it's good to have prophetic words. It's good to have the gifts of the Spirit in operation. But we've got to come to the point where we've got something more sure. Because every one of those visions, dreams, prophetic words, interpretation of tongues, and all those gifts of the Spirit, they must conform to what God's word says. If they don't, throw them away. But don't mean throw away the gifts, but throw away what is spoken. Dispense with it. If what I'm saying to, when you go up, study the scriptures. If what I say, you don't find what I say in the scriptures, then just forget about what I said. But if it's in the word of God, then take the advice of Peter. Not me, the apostle. He says, you do well to heed. You do well to heed. knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The holy men of God spoke as they were moved of the Holy Spirit. You know, all Scripture. So find out, read the Word. That's why we encourage you to come to Bible study. Come to the services. You know, get the Word, read it at home, study it. Why? Because you'll find out what God's will is. Because when we come to prayer, because that's what we're talking about, there's no point us praying for something hours upon hours upon hours if it's not God's will. And I want to add something else as well. Sometimes we spend too much time praying for something which is God's will, but all we've got to do is believe it by faith and receive it. So we need to find out what God's will is. God's will must take priority over our will. You know, it's too easy for us to pray the will of God to be done somewhere else in the world or for someone else's life. We should submit to His will above our will. Let's read it. Yeah, this is a good scripture to read. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. I'm sure you'll know this. You know, Isaiah sought God's will. He was praying. He starts off here in, Isaiah begins in chapter 6. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Here he is. He's in worship. He's in prayer. Prayer and worship. He's before the Lord. And he says, above it, the throne, stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah cries out, he says, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, here we have Isaiah seeking God. And then he hears a voice. And in verse 8, he hears the voice of the Lord speaking to him. And God says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send Fred. Isn't that how we pray sometimes? Yeah, I'm here, Lord, but I think that'd be better. That was Jonah's mistake, wasn't it? Now send somebody else, Lord. I don't want to do it. I don't want to go. No, he says, here am I. Send me. You know, when we're praying about the will of God, that's the correct response from our hearts. You know, Isaiah submitted to the Father's will. Jesus himself submitted to the Father's will. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we read in Matthew 26, where he falls down and he says, Father, if there's any other way that we can accomplish this, he says, let it be. But nevertheless, he says, not as I will, but as your will, as you will. Then in verse 42, he says this, your will be done. Your will be done. You know, when we submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus, you know, submitting to his will just flows naturally, comes easy. Why? Because we recognize Jesus as Lord. He is the ruler and the one who reigns in our lives. So submitting to his will is easy then. Well, I say easy. It flows naturally. Now, God's will isn't always easy, but it's always the best way. You know, we submit to the will of God by believing the word of God, as again we've stated there. And we allow God's word to renew our thinking. Romans 12 verse 2 says this: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Allowing God's word to change the way you think. Can that happen? Yes. Do you really mean to say that we don't have to think the way the world thinks? We can think the way God thinks? Yes. We can change. You know, we have we use this quite frequently when we're talking. Say, well, I've changed my mind. Have you heard somebody say that? I've changed my mind. You know, we can literally change our mind with the word of God. I don't mean just making a snap decision like that. Well, I've changed my mind. But we're allowing, so that the way we think, and this is, some people have never thought of it like this, the way we think is the way God thinks. We don't think the way we used to think. Our first reaction when we hear something is, what does God say? What does the Word of God say? Well, the Word of God doesn't say that. Wow, that's transforming our mind, renewing our mind, not conforming to the way the world wants us to be, but being transformed by the Word of God. And then Paul writes here, he says, but doing that, we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Just a couple of more thoughts before then I'll finish. Jesus' one desire was to please his Father and to do his will. He only had one goal, and that was to do what the Father had sent him to do, to please his Father and to do his will. And Jesus is our example, right? We should be like him. You know, there are many people in the world we look up to. We say, well, they're little girls when they're growing up, they want to be, and little boys, just they want to be just like dad, if they've got a loving father. But we want to be like my father, I want to be like dad. Oh, I want to be like mom. Oh, there's someone that has an influence. Oh, if I could be like them. But what about being like Jesus? He's our perfect example. We should imitate him. Imitate God, as dear children, Paul writes. Imitate God. What did Jesus say? John 4, verse 34. You know, this astounded his disciples. He'd spent a bit of time sharing and ministering to a woman at the well. And his disciples had gone off into town. Why? Because they had other things on their mind. They were hungry. They were looking for food. Jesus had other thoughts. And in John 4, verse 34, he says this. He said this to his disciples. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Doing the will of the Father. But in this pattern prayer that we've been looking at God's will, you know, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know whether you would agree with me. I trust you will. You will, but, you know, God's will is always done in heaven. In actual fact, it would be a very foolish person that would try and say, actually, God's will isn't done in heaven. You know, this is the habitation of God. This is where God is himself. You know what happened when the angels rose up against the will of God? They were thrown out. They were cast out with Satan as the lead. You know, God's will abides forever. God's will is his word. And it would be very foolish and very blasphemous. I'll add that to it, to say that God's will isn't accomplished in heaven. It's just a couple of scriptures to finish with. 1 John chapter 2 verse 7. 1 John chapter 2 verse 7. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. You know, the world is passing away. The earth is decaying. And one day it's going to be rolled up and reformed. God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. The world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. Do you know, on three occasions, well, at least three occasions, Jesus said something like this. You read one in Matthew 24:35, another occasion Mark 13:31, and then Luke 21:33. These words, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Then in James 1 verse 18, we have these words written. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. You know, we've been brought forth by the will of God, by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Amen. You know, we should pray. When we pray, our prayer should contain worship. We should pray in line with the word of God. Amen. In order to see God's will done on earth. If we find it's the will of God, then we could pray confidently and in faith. Father, this is what you promised. This is your will. It goes back to the very first point we made, and I touched on it at the beginning of the session tonight. It's all about relationship with the Father. You know, we have a relationship. You know, I don't know so much now, but I certainly know my children. You know, they can ask their grandfather anything, and he will do his best to give them what they want. I might have to work on him a little bit more now, because he's getting old. And Okay, you tell him. But it's about relationship. You know, we can ask our earthly parents things, and we know how to frame. Certainly, my girls know how to frame the question when they're asking me. They know exactly the right words to say, and you know they're 24 and 26, and they still know how to do it. And it normally starts this something like this: Dad, Dad. It's about relationship. You know, we can say, Dad. Not because we're trying to manipulate him to do something, but we have confidence based on what he says in his word. And then like Jesus, we should desire to do the will of God here on the earth. Like Isaiah, here am I, send me. Include me in your plan, Lord, for this town, this country, this world. I told you that last week. You know, the reason I'm here in Malta, I believe, is because a time ago I used to spread out I don't do it so much now, I haven't done it for ages. I used to spread out a map of the world across the floor, and I would sit and pray over that map. You know, and I used to pray for every place where we had some type of involvement, and obviously because we've been coming to Malta for many years, you know, Malta was one of the key places we prayed for. We prayed for the church here, we prayed for Pastor Vince and Sister Antoinette and all those. We remember Pastor Abe and Sister Aug, we prayed for them all. I prayed for them all. And, you know, part of that prayer was, here am I, Lord, send me. Send me. I didn't just pray for Malta. I prayed for Africa, USA, Australia, Asia, South America. I prayed, it's the whole world. Just laid hands on, and I know people in almost every part. And I just pray for them. But my prayer was, here am I, Lord, send me. I'll do whatever you want me to, go wherever you want me to go. You know, that's our desire. That should be our desire when we pray. So, amen, that's all I have for you tonight. So, God bless you.
God bless you very much. Amen. Let's give a hand to God.